Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, April 5th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from RAMS. They have their FACT program they're going to talk about with their youth-led movement to help educate peers about the impact of tobacco and nicotine. We'll have a couple of Isabels, a Reese with us, along with their advisor, Gretchen. Looking forward to that. Right now, joining us on the studio hotline, we have our good friend, Wisconsin State Assembly Representative Scott Krug with us. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. Appreciate the time, as always, Scott. We will try to make the time for some brewer talk to wrap things up, but I want to start off...
When they start as good as they do, then we do have to make time.
We do, right? Yeah. Right. If they hadn't been playing so good, maybe we just, fill the time some other way, but we'll wrap up there. I do want to... It's an election week, of course. We just wrapped up an election this week here in our area. Wanted to talk with you about that. What were some of your takeaways from this week's election results?
So I am an elections nerd, right? I am self-prescribed. I'm glad I ended up with the committee this session, because one of the things I love the most throughout the year is going through election results after an election or watching the results come in. I just, for some reason, it's always triggered my brain like it's a Christmas-like event. So I love data. I love numbers. So I wanted to crunch a little bit of the numbers today. My biggest takeaway, right, is turnout. And, I did a little video on X or Twitter or whatever people want to call it. I was over at the Y Tuesday afternoon about 1 o'clock or so and came out and it was snowing like all, right? So I did a video saying, hey, there's a reason Wisconsin does early voting for 2 weeks before an election, right? Mm. Because I knew from 1 o'clock until 8 o'clock that night that turnout was going to be much slower because of the weather. People getting home from work or picking up kids up from school and fighting through the weather on the bad roads already, thinking like, okay, I already got all this stuff I got to get home and do. Do I really want to take more time out and go vote? I'm guessing the answer for a lot of people that day was probably, maybe I should have done it earlier, but I'm just not going to do it now. So we equate that to what happened in a couple of races in Adams County for the Board of Supervisors. Hmm. So the city of Adams had a contested race for county board. A young guy, Austin Eggersdorf, and a guy who was coming back to the board after being off. And from, say, 12:30 to 8 o'clock, any voters that were dissuaded were probably the ones that determined that race, because it ended up being a two-vote race, 88-86, that the incumbent had lost. You go a little further south into Adams County, and we had a county board race decided by one vote. So, my biggest takeaway this week, besides the constitutional amendments, which I had been working on for 4 years, my biggest takeaway is that people have to start making their plan for November to vote early. So you don't have to worry about last minute things that come up, whether, grandma fell down and you have to go to attend to what she's dealing with, or the roads that got slippery, or the kids that got sick, or whatever it might be on election day, because life happens. But you risk running into what happened in some of these local races, whether decided by a vote or two. And if you and your spouse had been there, is that what your outcome would have wanted it to be? I mean, some people have to think about those things a little bit more, I think, when it comes to November. And I'm not, I'm not castigating anybody for not voting if the weather was bad or things like that. I'm just saying, if you want your voice to count, you got to get out and do it. But there are a lot of other takeaways. I think the other thing I think was a little disappointing was turnout overall. I haven't talked to Trent over here at Wood County yet, but just crunching numbers on my own, it looks like we're about 37-38% turnout for a spring election that had presidential candidates on the ballot. Not that they were contested presidential primaries, technically, but we've done better in past spring elections. So I'm guessing weather had a bigger impact than I thought, which just kind of drives home the first point even more.
Right. To that point, Seth, Scott, I just was working with Seth, and I had something on my mind that I really wanted to touch on. For those that don't know, Scott has a political background, went to school for this, knows his stuff, knows the history of this. And with that in mind, Scott, do you think that voting is going to change going forward as far as that goes? Making early votes, that used to not be as big of a thing. But, I mean, this past week, the weather showed us. nobody had, I'm not going to be able to go out and vote because of the weather. It's been nice the past couple of months for the most part. Then all of a sudden, Mother Nature decides to just throw us a curveball and we get this crazy weather. Some people, you're right, especially some of our senior population, were not able to get out there and vote because it wasn't safe for them.
Right.
So do you think that we're going to see more and more early voting going forward because of things like this?
And this is a big point of discussion I've had with folks in my party, right? Mm-hmm. Because typically, if you look historically, Republican voters had been the ones who had owned early voting. The absentee voters were typically the snowbird Republican voter who was in between Wisconsin and Florida or Wisconsin and Arizona. And that was probably the reason we ended up coming up with it in the original creation of early voting or absentee voting in Wisconsin, was to help the snowbirds who we knew leaned one way or another, helped them vote. So over the years, the other side, the Democrat voters or the less right side voters, have learned to use that to their advantage. And I think in this day and age where you see, you know, things, I call it, we live in like an American Idol society, right? Call now, vote now,
yeah.
Text your favorites. And I've said to my party from the beginning is, if you really want to open up elections and because you think you have the best ideas and the best candidates and the best messaging, why not open it up as best as you can? Open up early voting as much as you can. Embrace early voting as much as we used to, instead of saying that it's the devil's poison, you know, like some might say, or that it's, you know, when you request a ballot by absentee that you're committing a fraud or something. I don't know what wing of the party had taken over that messaging in the last, well, I do, but I'm not going to. But, you know, it's weird to me that the group of people who invented early voting in Wisconsin have gotten away from it. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying, why not embrace it as much as humanly possible? It's here to stay. There's no way it's ever going to go away. Let's embrace it and use it as much as we humanly possibly can to take pressure off of poll workers on election day, to give people more free time to be observers on election day. You know, all these things that people are worried about, we could accomplish all these goals if more people voted early and freed up their time to be available on election day to take people to the polls or go observe or volunteer in their communities. So, I mean, if people would just step back from some of the rhetoric sometimes and just see what the advantages are, getting your vote in, getting it counted, understanding it's safe and secure with your clerk, and then move on to be an advocate for whatever side you want to be until and on election day, then we're all in a much better place because everybody's got the equal opportunity. We have a lot of things we got to adjust when it comes to equal access for rural communities to be able to early vote like some of the bigger communities get to. For example, there's dozens and dozens of early voting polling places in Madison and Milwaukee, but you can't really count on it being a thing in the town of Adams,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to balance that out a little bit. But I think that is a very valuable tool for everybody to use.
Yeah, outside of changing a tire, I make this joke on the morning show all the time. Outside of changing a tire, everything evolves, Scott. You know, we haven't really changed that. We're still changing tires the same way we did in the 30s or 20s or whatever, but everything right. seems to evolve. It only makes sense that voting and politics in general would evolve.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that is the next iteration. Like I said, when you live in an instant gratification society, when everybody wants their votes to be counted and reported by 9 o'clock on election night. Well, the only way we're going to do that is, like we tried this session, is to get a bill put in place that allows clerks to start processing absentee ballots before election day. I mean, so as much as we want our elections to be faster, we have to also understand we got to keep the security and we got to keep the process and we got to keep standards. And so faster doesn't always mean better. So we've had to start earlier. So when you take all of these things and put them into, you try to fit them into the same box and help somebody understand the evolution of voting and processing votes and counting votes in Wisconsin, we are probably the 42nd out of 50 states to finally get to this evolution that I think we're at right now.
And one last thing I did want to mention about the elections. My oldest daughter is a poll worker, election poll worker over in Point. And talking to her, having the sheriff's department in this week, by all things we could tell up and down the state, things were pretty calm. Everybody treated each other pretty well. It seemed like whether that is unfortunate or not, that is noteworthy nowadays that, hey, went through an election, things went pretty smoothly.
Yeah, I think so. There were a couple of reports from UW-Madison campus where a couple of polling places had to stay open until about 9:30 because there were some entities telling people that, no, this isn't a polling place type of stuff. But that was a one-off. It was smooth pretty much everywhere. Took a little longer than some folks liked for results in Milwaukee again, but it is what it is down there. We've got so many things going on, but
yeah.
95% success. So.
And as long as we're talking about elections, I believe it was last month or earlier, last month you had another public hearing meeting in campaigns and elections, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit with you.
Boy, I got to remember, we had so many.
Yeah, I imagine. It was about to testify about or again testify for or against AB 1037. Getting into the differences of what we have and politically and some of that.
Yeah, and then, one of the things that is frustrating this time of year is that, we've had so many bills thrown onto the calendar, sometimes you forget that you were dealing with this one or another one or whatever one's coming up. And now that we're out of session, anything that was pending is dead, right? So
right,
that's the problem that we face, is trying to figure out if it didn't get done, why shouldn't it, still be a discussion. So what we did with this one is 1037 sprang out of a court decision, right? So for the last 31 statewide elections, the Wisconsin Election Commission had a definition of what an address was for a voter. For some reason or another, a Dane County court decided to throw out that definition of what an address is on an absentee ballot, right?
Yeah.
So literally 2 days after the court decided to take that up, we decided, hey, as the committee with oversight on elections, the legislature is where these decisions belong. We need to address this legislatively. Let's write a bill that actually reinstates Wisconsin Elections Commission's definition of what the heck an address is. I mean, that's the weird thing about how contentious sometimes things can be down there, is that we have to argue about what an address is because the courts get a bug in their ear that somehow what's worked for the last 31 elections doesn't work moving forward. So we took a shot at it. We got the bill through the assembly and or through the committee and onto the assembly floor, but it didn't go anywhere else. So now we're hemmed in by what the courts want to define as an address on an absentee ballot application for some reason. So it is what it is. And I think one of the things, the big takeaway for elections going into the spring and summer and fall, is that just because my committee's out of session and we're not bringing bills forward does not mean we're giving up our oversight capabilities of all things related to elections in the state of Wisconsin. If there is a problem somewhere or a report that a clerk has got an issue that isn't statutorily being done right, we're going to call that individual in and have a discussion like, okay, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Why do you think it's different? Or if a court reacts to something while we're out of session, for example, they're probably going to reinstitute drop boxes through the Supreme Court sometime during the summer. Well, we're going to have a discussion about that in our committee as the oversight agency for elections. So we're not stopping our work in the Campaigns and Elections Committee just because session's over. Mm. I think the people of Wisconsin want us to be there reacting to everything that's happening before the election and also after the election. We're going to have hearings across the state to talk about how the whole process shook out, how it worked, where it didn't work, what we need to do to be different. But even, we have to be a sounding board for people who don't feel like they have a voice, and that's what we're going to do post-election is, hey, if you had a problem, come tell us about it. Maybe we can help fix it.
Hmm. Scott, I want to get into what Zuckerbucks are. Can we explain what that is to the audience?
Yeah, so there's a few groups around the country, nonprofits and, private entities who like to supplement local money for elections. And one of them happened to be CTCL, the group that was funded by Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, obviously Zuckerberg, the Facebook guy. So what happened in some communities in the state of Wisconsin took some of the money from CTCL and used it for upgrades for election equipment and some of the things it was supposed to be used for. Some ended up taking money and allowing staff from CTCL coming over to help administer their elections. The most prominent example of that was in Green Bay, where the clerk was basically pushed aside in favor of this consultant who was kind of calling the shots at that point with the help of the mayor's office. Nobody can say for sure if anything nefarious had happened. It just looked wonky and weird. So what we did in reaction to that is we brought some bills forward to say, hey, let's not do this. We can publicly fund our elections. We don't need private dollars for it. wrote those bills, got them through the Assembly and Senate. The governor vetoed them. We decided this was important enough that we had to take another shot at it. So what we did is we amended our state constitution to say, hey, you know, all elections that are public, which all of our elections are, have to use public funds only. It can only be run by campaign staff who are appointed by the community that they're able to appoint. So you can't have private consultants and private money into our elections. So for a constitutional amendment to pass, got to go through two sessions of the legislature. So we did this last session, and now we did it again this session in the Campaigns and Elections Committee and the Assembly and the Senate. Got it through. Very little debate, actually, in the chamber when we heard it in the State Assembly. I think we passed them both in 10 minutes on the floor, even though, you know, some of my Democrat colleagues didn't like them. They didn't yell and scream about them, but they didn't vote for them either, unfortunately, which is, it is what it is. I'm not worried about that part. But this is the way that I think when there's disagreement between the Assembly, the Senate, and the governor's office, if there's disagreement, we've got to go to the people and get their voice.
Mm-hmm.
So as it's made its way to the ballot this week, you saw a 55-45 resolution on question one, which was the money side of it. And then, strangely enough, it was 60-40 statewide to ban the staff side of it. So it really did send a message to everybody in Wisconsin that, hey, you know, we don't want private money, but I think the message the voters sent to us is, hey, you got to send more public money then, right?
Yeah. I think one thing, too, that voters have unanimously for many, many years said is that they don't want their politicians to be bought. And when we look at some of the things that are going on with this, it reminds me as well of the information, the news we have gotten in the last year or so about Judge Thomas and our Supreme Court, and how, you know, how much people have been kind of people, especially some people that are dismayed, they're not even paying attention to these things anymore. And when it comes to the Zuckerbucks or that information or any of these things, we keep coming back to people. They're not angry anymore, Scott. They're disinterested. It's even worse. I'd rather them be angry. At least they care. Right now, we're getting more and more people, and we just saw the numbers from this week of the election, where after we just got done having a couple of elections with record numbers and everything, now they're going down again. And it's not a coincidence that we've had more and more of this dismay kind of out there. The last thing we need is any other kind of things to muck this up and give people more and more things to question.
Yeah, right. And I think the results, again, even here in Wood County, when you look even at the presidential race, even though I know it was decided, people still voted in it. But when you look at the top of the ticket on both sides, so where Donald Trump only got 82% of Republican votes in the primary this week in Wood County, Joe Biden only got 83% of the Democrat votes in the primary in Wood County this week. So there's 18% of even the Republican Party who don't like their candidate. There's 17% of the Democrat Party who don't like their candidate. I'm guessing the people that didn't come out to vote just didn't come out to vote because it's Trump or Biden, respectively, at the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Right. Why would they want to rehash of something they didn't want to even deal with last election? And now we're hemmed into this situation where we've got these two choices we're going to have to make. So voter apathy is going to be the biggest problem going into November for any number of reasons besides, you know, all the things we've already talked about. And it's just, it's frustrating because of all of the 270 million people in this country, these are the two we could find. You know, I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I've been barking about this on the morning show quite a bit, man. I hear you. Yeah. We're the greatest. I'm saying this, and I admit I'm biased, but we're the greatest country in the world. And if you don't agree with that, we're certainly the symbol of democracy to the whole world. This is what we're putting out there. This is what we're showing to the rest of the world. And the world's laughing at us with it, too. Like, it's even dictatorships have better options in some ways. Like, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I would love to have more time with you to dive into this sometime, Scott. We should do that sometime about why does sports get this right and politics don't? Shouldn't there have been, whether it is Trump or Biden, shouldn't they have had people, younger people, kind of lining up, getting ready to take over these jobs when, I don't know, they hit their 80s?
Yeah, you're right. You're dead right. But here's what you have to look at, the electorate and the status of what our electorate is in our country right now is 65-70% of the individuals are the same age as our presidential candidates are right now. Mm. Right. Mm. So there is something to be said for them understanding that those are the people they relate to the best. And I understand that we have a primary process for it to be vetted out that way and for those votes to count that way. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not crapping on anybody's choices. I'm just saying that as a 40-something, looking at a candidate, even on my spectrum of the political side of the aisle, looking at a candidate like Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis was more appealing to me, right? Because, first of all, I can relate to them because I look like them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're starting to see this revolution in our political process where the next generation is starting to take some of those more prominent roles, and you're going to see it over the next 10 years that 40, 50-somethings are going to start replacing 70, 80, 90-somethings. It's just going to take a little bit more time because, you know, we're on the edge of the end of the boomer age for elections, and we still value every single voter in the state of Wisconsin and across the country. But I'm just saying that hopefully they help us make that revolution a little bit quicker, just to help us understand that we've got to look to the future and not hang on to the past.
Scott, the Brewers are back in action tonight, hosting Seattle. Got Freddy Peralta on the mound. How good is it feeling with this young team? You know, I got to think, with whether you're a Green Bay fan or a Packer fan or a Brewer fan, coming into this year, you didn't know what you had. Maybe a rebuild, see what happens. Then you see the turnout, and like kind of pretty impressed with these franchises and what you're getting out of the product you're getting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a cool little trend happening in baseball now that's kind of taking over like football, where you've got the youth movement happening across both sports, and it's a lot cheaper for the talent to play, and you know, people panic when you get rid of your big name stars like Corbin Burns and things like that. But you, like I say in elections all the time, once it burns down to the ground, the green grows underneath, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you started to see that with the Brewers even too, that you've got all of these young talents, and there's so many of them that they just can't find playing time for them. The only issue I got with the Brewers right now is they're a little heavy on their bullpen already the first six games of the year. And
yeah,
starters got to pick it up a little bit and give them some more innings. But otherwise, the offense is exciting, finally. I think when I was at the Y, like I said, Tuesday, and watching the Brewers opener on the treadmill, couldn't hear it, obviously, but seeing Ricky Weeks run out of the dugout and getting the reaction he got from the crowd as a coach, it was pretty cool to see, too. So
yeah. I'm curious to know by this time next year how many kids or pets are going to be named Jackson.
That kid's exciting.
That they got some really nice talent on that team. It's been a fun season already. We're not even in the first couple weeks of this, so it's going to be a fun year in baseball. And we will talk some more baseball next month when you join us again, Scott. Always appreciate the time. If people have follow up questions, want to talk to you about other things, how can they reach you?
Yeah, it's easy. The cell phone's always on. It's 715-323-3293. Call or text me anytime. And like I said, just because we're out of session does not mean we're not working. We have to have a whole show about what that means, too,
because
we get all that kind of stuff. Like, why aren't you working anymore? Well, I am, because folks are going to call about, you know, their eligibility for this program or that program, or something happened in their life that they need some government help with. So that's what we do the rest of the year. The phone's always on, so give me a call.
Always look forward to the time, Scott. Thanks so much for joining us. You have a good week. Safe travels out there. We'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks. Take care.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.